We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's time for Bonte.
Let's just put the rat on the table, Goof.
Steiny.
The thought, I die alone. I laugh the loudest hooter.
Yeah!
And Guru.
Hell yeah! So I go, who paid for me? She goes, sir, it's free when you're over 44.
On 95.7, The Game.
Why not us? Why not us? That is the motto of the 2020 Giants, coined by Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy. Why not us? And the Giants last night snapped their three-game losing streak. Very well-pitched game by the Giants. They improved to 6-7 with a big win over the Rockies last night. 4-3, the bullpen holds on. Trevor Gott looks good. Works around to walk in that inning in the ninth. Rogers looked good. Hey, how about Logan Webb going 5-plus yesterday? And then Brandon Belt and Pablo Sandoval carrying the offense. And we'll see if the Giants can get a split today, as the lineups have been announced. We'll go through that in just a second. But, boys, am I allowed to say why not us?
Absolutely.
After yesterday, Shasky, I don't know. Remember, he was off the wagon. Remember, he was like, what are you guys talking about? I'm tired of the fluctuation. You come in one day, it's this, and now, B, look what a win will do. And right now, Logan Webb was great. He's got the lowest ERA amongst the starters, Shasky. They are currently sitting in the eighth seed for the playoff spot, if you care about that. And I'm just going to tell you this. I'm scorned. When it was 1-0 off the Solano air, I thought they were cooked. And I thought about Bonte's comments about this 10-game dreaded road trip getting off to an 0-3 start. They came back. They won the game. Watson, Rogers got, as you mentioned, Bonte, 6-7, Shasky. I didn't say they're the 27 Yankees, but again, your boy, you're saying there's a chance. And right now this team qualifies for the playoffs. Last night was a big win.
Yeah, I'm not ready to say last night. I mean, right now, if the season ended, they'd qualify for the playoffs. I'm just saying, like, this was an encouraging victory. Okay. I know it is the truth, but I'm saying two things can be equally true, Ralph. And right now, I'm feeling really good about where they're at. They righted this ship. I mean, I really want to see what they do today, because obviously taking a loss, and that would drop them to 3-4, losing 4 of their last 5, that would be a punch to the face. I mean, that would be a big-time blow. I like the way they battled last night. Gotta love what Webb did. We'll get to the defense, guys. There's a lot to get into. I do have some concerns about Yastrzemski. But just in terms of where this organization is, you got to give them credit, I guess. They are so resilient. Like, I know they're flawed. I know they're not great. There's not a superstar or all-star in the entire bunch. But, I mean, man, Kapler's got these guys resiliently fighting every single day.
No doubt about it. And the A's win their 5th in a row. They're on a roll right now. They go for the sweep against the Texas Rangers. Giants going for the split tonight. And let me just read off the lineup card here for you guys when it comes to the Giants today. Austin Slater. We're going to see Austin Slater in a leadoff spot tonight. Obviously, Yaz is having a day off. He needs a day off. I thought that one hit where he hustled for a double, that was impressive. But Yaz will get the day off. Wilmer Flores batting second, playing second base. Wilmer Flores played second base, third. Donnie Barrels, Donovan Solano is going to play short today. Evan Longoria at third, batting cleanup. Hunter Pence batting fifth, playing in right field. Right field. Darren Ruff, sixth, as your DH. Pablo Sandoval batting seventh at first base. Chadwick Trump at catcher, batting eighth. And then Mauricio Dubon playing center field tonight as Mr. Anderson gets to start today for the Giants.
You know,
and I know we've been heavy-handed on the go ahead, Butch. I didn't hear you.
No, I was going to say, one of the things that I just can't get out of my head is that this team's got to find a way to avoid Arenado at all costs. I know last night he comes up in the eighth inning. Every single Giants fan saying, Jesus, please don't pitch to this man. Please don't give him
any. It's a solo homer, Butch.
He's just – But he's so damn good right now. And I'm not saying that you just put the guy on first base. I'm saying pitch around the man. Make him expand the zone. I have never seen a guy, and people could say Scott Harrison or Jerry Harrison Jr., or they might even bring up Goldschmidt when it comes to Lincecum. I've never seen a guy have complete ownership of an entire organization the way Nolan Arenado owns the San Francisco Giants. He had no home runs before this
series. They got the win. They got the win.
I know, but he's hit a home run.
I get you, but you can't play chicken. You know what word I want to use. I mean, you got to tip your cap. The Giants are looking for their version of Arenado, a guy that can do that. At the end of the day, man, we have been heavy-handed, us three, this week and last, on Belt and Panda. And we know baseball's a long season, but this one not so much. There's going to be games where these guys come through, and we got to tip our cap to Belt. He could have just,
you know,
cried in his beer. He showed up, and you guys were laughing at me, Steiny too, about when I said reinforcements are coming from Belt and our third baseman. What's my guy's name?
Longoria.
I can't think of his name.
Longoria.
And there's going to be games in a 60-game season to where they contribute. Now you need Panda. Now you need Pence. So I'm not taking credit. I'm just saying that's the beauty of baseball. Belt came through, home run double. He owned Gray. He had ownage coming into the game, and you saw it displayed. What if he can get hot? Butch for a week, Bonte for 2 weeks. I mean, it happens, and collectively, if they could keep scoring runs, who knows? And that's all it's about.
Bonte, I absolutely loved what I saw from Brandon Belt yesterday. The guy deserves a lot of credit. I mean, look, I bash him. We all bashed him. We bashed him left and right. But I think when the guy comes through like he did yesterday, where they needed a big-time bomb, they're down 2-0 to start this game, it was deflating. When he stepped up there and banged that home run, that was the jolt this team needed. I mean,
a three-run homer, Butch.
I don't think we give him enough credit when he does come through, because we're always quick to jump him, and I'm guilty of this more than anyone else. And so when the guy comes through, I got to give him credit. And it's good to see him get hot right now. Like, I'm legitimately optimistic about what he can do, because if he gets into one of his hot streaks, I mean, he's one of the hottest hitters in baseball.
2-for-4 last night, 3 RBIs, that 3-run home run really gave life to the Giants in that fourth inning, man, because they were dead in the water. And, Guru, you mentioned it right off the top. The way they started the game, first at bat, damn, error. They gave away 180 feet right off the bat yesterday. And it was like, geez, what are they doing?
Are they taking infield?
Are they shagging fly balls in the outfield during BP? But they got their act together. You got to tip your hat to the pitching yesterday. The pitching kept them in the game. Whenever you could hold the Rockies to 3 runs at Coors Field, that's a win. You should win that game. Now, in terms of Arenado, look, it is what it is. Tony Watson got his stuff lit up. He was up there hacking. Arenado hit the first pitch of that AB and smoked it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you avoid the guy. They pitched to him in the ninth inning, and Trevor got. Oh, he missed. He threw a fastball 95 miles per hour right down Broadway, and Arenado missed it. He missed it. It popped up, and I said, oh, my Lord, what are you doing, God? Throw the ball in the dirt. But you have to give Brandon Belt credit. Give Pablo credit for bouncing back with a 2-for-4 night. The improver, or his batting average, is now 167. Brandon Belt now batting 235. Can't be mad at that. But this righty, heady lineup today against Kyle Freeland, the lefty from Colorado. Hey, look, I want to see what they do on a bounce-back day with Yaz out, with Crawford. Now Crawford, he's starting to get on me. He's starting to get on my nerves.
I'm not going to lie.
We'll get to that. I want to focus on the positive, because Crawford is getting on my nerves with the way he's just kind of oleing baseballs in the infield. He's rolling over balls, hitting the double plays. I just can't take it.
We've seen this before, Butch, and I'll say this because you said, and I ain't hating, Butch, and I'm rooting for everybody in the Giant uniform, but I just wanted to use the stop sign on you when you say he's hot. We got to see it like maybe today. Couple more games. He had a good game. Belt did. I'm talking about 2-for-4. But before we can label him hot, Butch, you got to do it for me a couple more games.
Yeah, but you know what? I think he's been seeing the ball pretty well. Like, he had a hit the night before where he dug one out of the dirt. So, I mean, look, Belt's super streaky. Guru, this is what you get. You get a couple of games or a couple of weeks, sometimes if we're lucky, where he just sees the ball really well. He's always going to get on base with the walks. Is he going to be able to put the ball over the fence? And seeing him do that last night, that was a good thing. Before we get to, like, the lineups and all, I got to get to the shifting. Like,
Go ahead,
my goodness,
Butch.
How many times has this team shifted and the ball has either found an infielder who is playing an unnatural position or it's gone to the routine spot of where the normal defense would necessarily be? For example, last night, first play of the game, Donovan Solano's playing third base, but they shifted him, so he's playing shortstop, and the ball just goes right through him. I mean, it's just right through him. It's just so frustrating. And I know that the shift is here to stay, but I don't know, man. I feel like if I were to look at the numbers this year based off how many guys have actually hit into the shift and how many times the shift has negatively impacted the San Francisco Giants defense, I bet they're about 50-50. Like, I do not see a positive transaction if we were to weigh the two between shifting and it actually helping the Giants. I'm asking sincerely.
Well, that's baseball now. They're going to play the numbers. They're going to shift all the time now. Every batter now, whenever a batter walks up to the batter's box, the defense is moving in some type of position. I saw Shin Chu Chu for the Texas Rangers this past weekend. He pulled out a little card in his back pocket, looking where to go. Okay, so-and-so's up. Brandon Belt's up. Let me shag to the left. Okay, Brandon Crawford's up. Let me shag to the right. I'm not sure if that's exactly how that goes down, but every single play, somebody is shifting on defense, and that's just the way baseball's played right now. Go look at the Houston Astros. They're shifting all over the place. They're the first team I saw with four outfielders against Joey Gallo, the Texas Rangers, the Houston Astros, that is. So, hey, look, shifting is
they don't leave baseball with airs, though, either, too, B. That's they what don't. Gets me is when they a don't. Team that, you know, you got a hole in your glove, Shasky and Bonte, but you want to get cute. I mean, sometimes go straight up. But real quick, I heard Farhan on yesterday with DRK, and he talked about, I believe Kolsky asked him about Cueto getting upset with the defensive alignments behind him. And I guess they do have conversations about the frustration, you know, that Cueto showed. But you're right, Butch. I don't think it's helping the 2020 Giants more than it's hurt them.
Well, I mean, I think at the baseline, they have bad defense to begin with. So I don't even know if what I'm saying out loud is a fair enough assessment, because when you have a bunch of subpar defenders out there, any defense that you're in, normal alignment, shifting alignment, is not going to look pretty. So I'm just frustrated because I've seen so many plays that I would deem a normal play under normal defensive circumstances not get made. And it's very, very frustrating, especially once they go into the shift. I feel at times it gets too cute. It's frustrating to watch. And I know that I said to myself before the season started, I'm going to be patient. I know that this is going to be unconventional baseball compared to what I'm accustomed to in the last, you know, however, 30, 40 years of my life watching baseball. So I admitted that on the front end. But I got to admit, it's frustrating to watch night in, night out, when the first play of the game, Donovan Solano boots it. Second pitch of the game, or third pitch of the game, Webb throws a wild pitch. I mean, I don't even care if it was Buster Posey in his prime. No one was stopping that. You're putting a runner on second base with two freebie mistakes. And then that guy scores. No question he's going to score. You got to help out your own pitching staff. And Logan Webb, to his own credit, had to help himself out in that first inning. And he did by bouncing back. It's just frustrating to see a team dig so many holes defensively.
Logan Webb may be the best pitcher on the staff right now. No joke.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked pretty damn composed yesterday for the Giants in that rotation. And give this rotation credit. In the three games at Coors Field, they've all gone 5+. The first game, Johnny Cueto gets into the sixth inning. Of course, he gives up that 2-run jack to Nolan Arenado. Kevin Gausman, I thought, pitched pretty damn good. Good enough to win at Coors Field. And then Logan Webb. But then the bullpen. I'm looking at the bullpen here. And they're going with Trevor Rogers and Trevor Gaut. In the eighth and ninth inning. You know what? Those kids are growing up. I'm actually pretty impressed with Gaut. He's got better stuff than I thought. He was painting the corners. Now, look, he does miss up at times. He threw one to the fifth row during the Arenado at-bat. Remember that one? But you know what?
Just a little high.
But you know what? Gaut and Rogers are learning how to job, and I kind of like these roles for them. They're actually getting tough outs at tough ballparks. Dodger Stadium, Coors Field. Yes. I'm not mad at them in the eighth and ninth inning, and I hope Gabe Kapler can define their roles now. Hey, Rogers. The eighth inning is all yours. Hey, Gaut, the ninth inning is all yours. And for now, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, see, for
and
me,
Butch,
Trevor
I'll Gaut, say this. I'll say this.
Trevor Gaut.
Butch. No, I was just going to say 20. No, we thought this team could lose 45 games this season. That was a reality. And, Bonte, you just mentioned it. They played the Rockies, Dodgers, and Padres, and this team is 6-7. And my whole point is, I'll take that after 13 games. So you got to give credit where credit is due. We beat up on Kapler. I'm not saying he's manager of the year. He still's got his warts, but they're 6-7 after 13, and they play three pretty damn good teams outside of Texas.
Yeah, I agree with you, Goo. I'm going to take it. I like where they're sitting at right now, given that they have a god-awful roster. No one in baseball would trade rosters with the San Francisco Giants right now, and yet they're treading water. Like, I'm totally with you. And you're asking me about Trevor Gott. You're asking about Tyler Rogers. But Bonte, I'm going to be honest with you. I see no future with either of these guys long term. I like them. They're nice stories. I don't want to get too excited. I think the reality is Trevor Gott is probably completely overperforming whatever we should be expecting of him. I don't think he's a legitimate closer. I don't think he's a legitimate setup man. I think on a good team, in a good bullpen, he's a 6th or 7th inning guy, if we're being totally honest.
Guess
but
what?
Here's what I like about this. Here's what I like about it. Could he be this year's Sam Dyson? Could he be somebody that you could shine up and move at the deadline or move later on down the line and get something of some value back? Because right now I like what he's doing, but I don't want to fall victim to thinking that, he could be the closer of the future. I don't think the closer of the future is on this team. Well, and I'm not saying that's what you're saying.
Right.
I don't have a lot of faith in him, I guess, is what I'm going at. Maybe I'm too pessimistic.
This is the best they have. Who else are you going to throw back there? Sean Anderson, you want to throw him back there in the ninth inning? Sometimes he looks like he has closer stuff. Sometimes he looks like he belongs in AAA. I mean, this is the best you have.
Oh, wow.
What you're working with here right now with the Giants, this is the best that you have. And I'm impressed with the way they've just said, you know what? We're going to get the ninth inning, and we're going to go out there and try to get us a save. And he hasn't blown a save yet. He hasn't blown a save yet. Until he does it, I mean, credit. He went down to Dodger Stadium. He went down to Coors Field.
Agreed.
I'm saying, wow, okay, Arenado. Like, I for sure thought yesterday, fellas, and I'm looking at the lineup. When Arenado hit that home run in the 7th inning against Tony Watson, I said, Arenado is going to be up in the 9th inning. Whether or not he has a runner on base or is he going to lead off. Well, I thought Arenado was definitely getting on base. It got that big first out, and I said, I felt like the game, all right, I know we walked the guy on four pitches later in that inning, but I said, you know what? You got Arenado out. Maybe you're cooking with something here. Here's what Gabe Kapler, manager of the Giants, had to say after the game on if the Giants have a set closer right now.
Yeah, I think we have several options in our bullpen. High leverage options where, you know, the most important spots will come up in the game. And I think we're going to stay committed to using them where they match up best. There may come a time, and I'll continue to say this, where it just becomes absolutely clear that one is best for the ninth, one is best for the eighth, and one is best for the seventh. I don't think we're there yet.
Wow.
Gabe Kapler.
So he's not going. He's not going to analytics. He's using – that sounds like to me, but he's going to – good and what he sees on the diamond. I like it.
Well, I just think he's being realistic here. Who else would you trust in these situations? Like, it's a process of elimination.
Yeah,
that's and to Bonte's point, like, as much as I like the potential that Sean Anderson has, he can't be trusted. One pitch, he looks devastating with the
slider. You
gotta
earn it, though. You gotta earn the trust.
I agree, and it's not over a week. It's over weeks and weeks and weeks of doing it over and over again. That's why I'm a little skeptical on Gott. I think he hangs a lot of stuff. I think that ball can kind of stay up in the zone, and it scares me when you throw in that hard, 96 miles an hour. Tyler Rogers, I just think they're way more optimistic on him than I am.
Yeah,
and I think that the 3-batter minimum thing has really – I feel like they're forcing that as a thing, whereas if the 3-batter minimum did not exist, I think he would be used much more brilliantly in 1- and 2-batter situations, and you wouldn't see him get exposed, because I think the longer he's out there, the more I cringe. I'm just being honest.
No doubt. Here's what Gabe Kapler had to say about Brandon Belt's bat. The 3-run home run yesterday. We'll hear a kite call coming back from break, and then we'll also have some Farhan Zaidi sound. He joined DRK yesterday talking about Joey Bart and the Giants. Here's Kapler on Brandon Belt's bat.
Yeah, no, to your point, he's had some success against him, and I think he's done some good work over the years in Colorado and against the Rockies. So I think what I'd lean most on is Brandon's continued consistent routine and his continued plate discipline and his ability to get on base. And today, he squared the ball up in the air. In this ballpark, that's the best thing that you can possibly do is if you're making an out, you're making it hard in the air. And when you're making your best contact, like Pablo did and Brandon did, those balls are on the line or with a higher trajectory than that.
Gabe Kapler on Brandon Belt. And look, Brandon Belt, three-game hitting streak. You got to start somewhere. Yesterday, he did look good. I didn't like the strikeout. It was the same old strikeout with Brandon Belt. Struck out looking, slumped his shoulders, looked back at the umpire. Dude, you got to take your hacks and protect. But Brandon Belt, for the most part, nice day at the dish.
Came into the game with an OPS of 64, so he did himself some good yesterday.
What?
And again, it's what you said, Shasky. 064, if anybody knows what the OPS is, that's a signal on your ability to get on. And I'm just telling you, if you can ride him a week, two, pass it off to Longoria a week, two, do it by committee, who the hell knows, man. But right now, this team's in the playoffs.
God, I wish it worked that simple. Hey, you know, Belt, you get hot. Pass the torch of getting hot to Longoria. Man, I wish it was that. I mean, honestly, you were just throwing
lighter fluid on this dude yesterday. Now you're all excited about him.
No.
I'm just keeping it real. Keep it real. Same intensity. Yeah. You got to tip your cap to him. But the last few days we've been doing the show, you've been putting him in the coffin, man.
I have. And look, here's the thing. This is why he's so maddening as a player. We know he's got ability. The problem is that he believes that his batter's eye is more important to this team and the impact on the game than swinging the damn bat. And I wish he went up there with the approach to swing the bat. And there was a crucial situation that Bonte referenced where, look, it's a two-strike count. Anybody who's played baseball at any level knows with two strikes, whether there's a K zone or, you know, analytics explaining what the strike zone is or not, umpires have a tendency to expand the zone and you need to protect. You don't want to leave it in the umpire's discretion as to whether he should punch you out or not. Swing the bat, foul it off, fight it off. And again, I like when Brandon swings the bat and is going all out, I can live with the results. I can. It's when he has the slumped shoulders and it's two strikes with runners on late in the game and he doesn't get the bat off his shoulders. That, to me, is demoralizing when you're the cleanup hitter.
No, it is demoralizing. And here's Kapler and Logan Webb. I don't want to bury the lead here. I thought last night was about Logan Webb and his pitching staff. Look, they got just enough hits yesterday.
I agree.
And enough runs scratched across the plate there to score 4, to beat the Rockies 4-3. Here's what Kapler had to say about Logan Webb. Logan Webb with a nice start at Coors Field.
Yeah, a lot of poise carry. And then also he's pretty fiery and tenacious as well. Like, even though he pitched a really solid game in this ballpark against a really tough lineup, I still think he felt like he has more in the tank. And you know what? We feel like he has more in the tank. I think he's done a really good job of maintaining his stuff. The movement on his changeup has been great. The fastball has had life. And now we just have to tighten up his command even a little bit more. And when he does that, he's really capable of going deep into games like some of the better pitchers in the league. And obviously tonight was big for him. He demonstrated the ability to go through that lineup twice. And in a lot of ways, we felt confident to give him a little bit more rope.
5 innings for Logan Webb last night, 4 hits, 2 runs, 1 earned, and 4 strikeouts. Only 68
pitches.
Only
win from a starter on the staff.
First win. I mean, these starters don't go deep on the San Francisco Giants.
He's a competitor.
You got to like the way he attacks the zone, though. And that's one thing that I've been very impressed with him. Even when guys get on, he doesn't deviate from his game plan. I like the way he hits his corners. He mixes up the height of the pitch, the location of the pitch. He works inside, outside. He had the slider going last night. Look, Colorado is a house of horrors for any young pitcher. And the fact that he got down early and kept the Giants in the game and then shut the door after they got some runs on the board. Like, the shutdown inning is so important in Colorado. I bring it up every time. But I love the moxie. Like, I really do. I don't know what he is. Is he a third starter? Is he a fourth starter long term?
Hopefully he'll learn from Cueto.
He doesn't have the stuff to be.
I think they get some of that. You know,
I don't think he has the raw stuff to be a top end, rotation guy. I think he's a 3 or 4
learning the pedigree part, the aspect of pitching. You would hope that happens. I've never been in a major league. Well, neither none of us have in a dugout, but you would think, Bonte, that they would learn. I'm not saying he has the stuff, but that he would learn from those dudes on the days that he's sitting just watching other pitchers go at it and pick their brain.
Goo, they have no young pitching. Like, this is what they need. They needed one guy to just step up a little. He's really the only young pitcher that they have, and they've got a couple of guys, Jelly, and I think Corey is going to come up in a couple years.
Right.
But, like, Outside of him, this is all we have for young pitching. So you better embrace it, Giants fans.
Here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Bay Alarm. We're replay some of the Farhan Zaidi interview, some of the cuts from that interview. You talk about young pitching. Farhan was asked by Ray Ratto about the young pitching in a farm system. So we'll hear about that. Joey Bart, the million-dollar question. What is Joey Bart coming up? Well, Farhan spoke at length about that. And also, Gabe Kapler so far as the manager of the Giants. How has he done? Is he comfortable or not? We'll hear from Farhan Zaidi coming up. Plus, your phone calls, 888-957-9570. Giants get off the snide. They snap their three-game losing streak. The A's, they win their fifth straight. Matt Olson, two home runs yesterday for the Oakland Athletics. He's starting to get hot for the A's as they go for the sweep against the Texas Rangers later today at the Coliseum. And that will be brought to you by Bay Alarm.
Belt, it's a high drive to right. Blackman Bagger, Mick DeTapia, out of here. And the Giants take the lead.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Dwayne Kuiper on a call for NBC Sports Bay Area. Brandon Belt goes yard there at the top of the fourth to give the Giants a 3-2 lead at the time. They tacked on a run in the sixth inning. They win the game 4-3 in Colorado. They'll go for the split today to try to improve their record to 7-7 and leave Denver, Colorado feeling good about themselves, fellas. Don't forget to download the radio.com app and search 95.7 The Game. Add it to your favorites and don't miss a second. Whether you're at home, in your car, or at work, and use the rewind feature to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours, including Farhan Zaidi, the president of baseball operations of the San Francisco Giants. He joined DRK yesterday at 5 p.m. Also tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa, hey Google, play 95.7 The Game. We got Tiger Watch coming up in just a second here. Let's get to the phone lines. Phone lines here. We got Tiger Watch. Hey, Hardy Park, PGA Championship. Drove by there yesterday. Saw all the tits set up. Try to get a little sneak peek. The DPT and the police officers like, keep it moving. Keep it moving. Get the Batmobile out of here. Let's go to Athletics. Dynasty in Oakland wants to talk about the Giants closer situation here on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Dynasty?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Love hearing you guys every day. For me, coming from an A's fan, the Giants need to situate that closer situation ASAP. I think that's going to cost them a lot of games if they don't. I like to try someone new. Probably Jess Samardzija is a good suggestion if he keeps doing bad in the rotation. Someone that I like seeing in Oakland. I know he's regressed a lot, but, you know, try him out. And I also like Rico Garcia, give him a try. I mean, this is the season that Gabe Kapler gets to experiment with everything, you know, and paying Samardzija. I mean, I know the Giants want to basically trade him and try to find a good suitor to get him. So Samardzija can probably be worth more in the bullpen, probably. I don't know. But I know that big contract is a big factor in that and why he's not going to be probably in the bullpen. But it's just an idea. What do you guys think?
Shasky, you just said they don't have young arms. I mean, if I were running the Giants, Bonte, how the hell do you sit Samardzija down and who would take his place? Anderson? I mean, no. you can't ill afford to do that.
Look, I would sit him down a couple of years ago, and I would have tried him in the bullpen. If I'm being totally honest with you, he came up out of the bullpen, if I remember, as a Cub way back when. So I feel like that ship has sailed. He spent so much time as a starter.
Right.
It's probably not going to happen. But here's the thing. I don't understand why more starters who do kind of flame out or they realize they can't go a second or a third time through a lineup aren't embracing that closer role. Eckersley, Smoltz, there's been a lot of guys who have had really good stints as starters and then became great closers, right? 150 wins for both of those guys that I referenced, 150 saves, which is damn near impossible in today's day and age. But I would be embracing it. I kind of thought that Lincecum toward the end should have embraced it a little more, if we're being totally honest with you. I think it would have put a couple of extra years on his career. Not that he would have been, you know, John Smoltz.
He lost everything, but
at least he would have hung around the bigs. You know, I don't know. The Samardzija thing should have happened a couple years ago, Bonte.
It should have. 5 years, $90 million is going to be a free agent. But you know what? If he wants to hang around the game for a longer time, I think he should ask Farhan or ask if whether or not he gets traded or not. Hey, I think I should pitch the eighth. I should pitch the ninth. Maybe that velocity goes up. Maybe he keeps the ball down a bit.
Would you guys trust him?
Probably not. I don't think he'll go to the pen.
His mentality, though, actually, I think it really is a good mentality to have as a closer. He's kind of got like this meathead football. I'm going to throw it as hard as I can through you. I'm stubborn.
Notre Dame.
Like that. He has a lot of the same mental makeup as Brian Wilson. Now, I don't know if that's a great thing, but he really does. Like, I think he approaches the game almost like a football player.
Right.
And that's why I don't like him as a starter. I don't think he has the, I don't know, the nuance.
But I thought he was I thought him or Cueto were what you were showing other teams that to solidify a spot that he could be a starter. Some other team could think that he could give him something as a starter. So you were showcasing him, possibly Cueto, because you talk about Belt Crawford and all the other statues and dead weight you got. You ain't getting rid of them this season. So to me, Samardzija is just going to keep getting the ball every fifth day, you know, good or bad, and hopefully it's better. And it's up to Farhan to pull the trigger, Butch, if you think you could get something for him or another team needs an arm. Like, who we watching? The Atlanta Braves. They're dying. I mean, you know, they need arms. It could be Cueto. It could be both.
No doubt about that.
If they come calling.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, looking at the A's, too, they may need a pitcher, although Lizardo may have solved those problems for their rotation with this performance the other night. But Sean Manaea, I'm a little worried about. I wonder if this is the year the Giants and A's do business. Butcher, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think they've made a trade with each other since the Darren Lewis trade to bring Darren Lewis to San Francisco. I mean, maybe this is the year. Maybe this is the year Billy Bean picks up the phone and says, hey, Farhan, I need a solid from you. Maybe it's not just Samardzija. Maybe it's Johnny Cueto. Maybe, just maybe, it's Johnny Cueto going over to the green and gold.
I thought they made a trade maybe a year and a half ago toward the end of the season, Birch Smith or something like that. I thought there was a lower lesser of a trade.
That's right.
That the Giants
made
with each other. But, yeah, the most significant trade is the Darren Lewis one going way back when. But the familiarity with Farhan and Billy Bean, we always kind of connect those dots. They don't want Samardzija. Samardzija costs way too much. I mean, Samardzija's no good, costs way too much. Like, he's the Giants' problem. He's probably – look, this is, if we're being realistic, if
I just don't see bullpen in his future. Yeah,
He should have embraced it earlier. I think he should have embraced it earlier. But if his next two starts don't go well, they're going to probably find some sort of an ailment to put him on the IL, or they're just going to skip a start. You know? That's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, no doubt. The A's line up tonight as they go for six in a row. Look at the A's. Marcus Semien batting leadoff, Ramon Laureano second, Chapman third. Mark Canha batting fourth, cleanup. Matt Olson batting fifth, Chad Pinder sixth. Crush Davis in the seven hole. He's batting seventh. Steven Piscotty eighth, and Sean Murphy ninth for the Oakland A's as they take on the Rangers today to try to sweep up at the Coliseum, first pitch at 12:40. But, hey, we teased this up. I know the morning show played a lot of this sound. Damon Radokolsky, Whitey Gleason.
That's a problem.
Don't dock me tomorrow in Jeopardy. Whitey, Radokolsky, they talked to Farhan yesterday in a very fun interview. Here's what Farhan had to say. Look, we've all been asking about Joey Bart. When is Joey Bart going to come up? You look at Heinemann with the three catcher interferences. You see Chadwick Trump. Where's Joey Bart? Well, here's part one, Farhan on Joey Bart.
We went into spring training this year thinking this is a guy who we're very high on as an organization, but who has had less than 100 at-bats above A-ball. You know, not his own fault. A lot of it was a couple of unfortunate injuries he had last year. But we felt very strongly that he's a guy who needed more minor league reps. I mean, the ability to handle major league pitching on a day-in, day-out basis is a huge challenge, and a lot of guys get rushed and struggled, and they never get over that hump. So for somebody like him who's so important to the future of this organization, we want to make sure that we push the button at the right time. And for us collectively, you know, less than 100 at-bats above A-ball, I mean, there are very few cases of guys that make that jump and just come up to the big leagues and hit the ground running.
That's what Farhan had to say. Here's part two on Joey Bart. Ray Ratto asked him about Joey Bart. Here's part two of that Joey Bart question.
You know, there isn't a minor league season right now, but we feel really good about the setup we have in Sacramento. If you look at the pitchers that we have there, they're all basically major league depth. We have some quality depth in the organization, and he's getting to face those pitchers on a day-in, day-out basis. And Frankly, however people want to describe the alternate sites that we have, you know, Joey Bart until now has never even faced that kind of AAA major league quality pitching on a day-in, day-out basis. So we're watching his at-bats very carefully. As has been reported, he's working out at first base as well. And that additional bit of defensive versatility is going to help us get him in the lineup as well. So those are all kind of continuing parts of his development, and we're continuing to evaluate it. We haven't, set timelines, either saying we can't do it until X date or we have to do it by a certain date. We're just continuing to evaluate it, and the reports out of there have been really good so far on what he's done.
So now you're going to supersede minor league baseball, and whatever the hell you got going in Sacramento is supposed to mimic minor league baseball? Come on, man. Let this dude come up and face live bullets. Farhan's smart. He sounds smart, but that analyst is wrong. You would think, fellas, the fact that there is no minor league baseball, what the hell can he be doing? Playing catch? I mean, come on, man. There's no games. That, would, to me, would be like, you know what? Bring him up. His psyche is not that Bonte or Shasky to where if it didn't go well, it would supersede the experience that he would be getting on the big level. I just don't like that. I'm not on board with how they're doing the
whole love how we apply these narratives and these little ideas to certain players, but then they don't apply to others. Okay, case in point, Chadwick Trump. Oh, man, he had 400 at-bats. He's ready to go in the bigs. Right. You know, he's ready to go right now. He's been awesome. I mean, when we look back at Brandon Belt's career, are we going to say, man, had he just gotten an extra 100, 200 at-bats in the bigs, he would have been a different player.
Right.
Like, you are kind of who you are. You're either ready or you're not. All right? This isn't 1954. Like, bring the guy up. Stop with this archaic, he needs to be in the squat for 700 innings in the minor leagues. Okay, so now I'm depreciating his value on the big league level because I just saw a Hall of Fame career get cut short in Buster Posey because he spent so much time in the minors in the squat, because he spent so much time in the big leagues in the squat. Like, I don't understand this. Offensive catchers are the running backs of Major League Baseball. It's a short shelf life. Use this guy's bat now. I don't understand the logic. He's not going to get better facing remedial pitching.
Thanks,
like,
man.
Again, right. Simulated at bats here, and I don't buy the narrative.
What do they do with his sack? What's going on in sack that he's getting? Come on, play catch.
Well, Dalton Johnson wrote an article at NBC Sports Bay Area the other day. Dalton is he covers the minors, goes down there to Sacramento, goes up to Sacramento a lot. Really respect Dalton's baseball opinion. It's basically glorified workouts up there. It's glorified workouts. I don't get it. I don't get it, man. I don't know, man. Because, like, you could play him at DH. Maybe if Belt is off, you can let him play at first base. Just get him at bats. It's a 60-game season. And you know what?
47 now, fellas.
47 now. And here's the thing that drives me crazy. All right, so say if he comes up and he bats 150. Oh, we don't want to shatter the young man's confidence. Well, if the young man is rattled after a season in which he batted 150, then he ain't the guy anyway. He ain't the dude anyway. Give him an all season to adjust to major league pitching after facing them over the next 47, 46, 45, whatever. That rationale does not make sense to me. Let the kid play. There's other guys who came up with hit the ground running. Remember Mike Stanton came straight up from Giancarlo Stanton, now formerly known as Mike Stanton, came up from AA and hit the ground running. It just drives me nuts. It drives me nuts that we're sitting here. He's a 23-year-old, the number 2 overall pick, and he's in Sacramento just playing catch, playing pepper. Let him DH for the big league club.
That's a bad mofo.
We only do this on the front end of certain players' career, and it's just – it's maddening. It makes no sense. When we look back at Brandon Crawford's career, I'm like, man, had he just gotten an extra 200 at-bats at AA, I mean, he'd have been a 310 hitter his entire career. You know, we screwed up. We brought him up a little early and messed with his confidence. Like, again, it's sink or swim, man. Fight or flight.
This is what ails baseball, too, though. You know what? You got a diamond in the rough. Let's see him. Quit acting like this guy's mental psyche is glass.
Right.
Bring him up. You need him. Now, real quick, if we back up and rewind, if you want to go service time and you weren't going to get a full season's worth, okay, I can understand that. But now when you bring him up and that's not the case, this is bad. This is a bad look. And I feel bad for the kid that we can't see him and the fans, because he would bring some excitement to the yard and team. And you don't got Johnny Bench or Buster Posey in front of you. Oh, by the way, you got a catcher that doesn't know the rule with catcher interference going by there, you know, on a daily. It's just a bad look.
It's a terrible look. Guy brings power, and he's probably your best defensive catcher right now in the system. Right now. I mean, you want to see Heinemann come up with another catcher's interference? Not to rip the guy, but Joey Bart is probably your best defensive catcher in this system. So I don't get it. Here's what Farhan had to say about the manager, Gabe Kapler, a guy we've been critical about throughout the season. Here's what Farhan had to say about Kapler.
He has a challenging job right now because, as we've alluded to a little bit, this is a lineup, a roster, a pitching staff that sort of needs to be managed pretty actively. I mean, we don't have, five workhorses in the rotation. We're going to throw seven innings where, you know, you just hand the ball to your setup man and your closer. He's obviously having to mix and match a lot on the pitching side, on the position player side. We're trying to use the entire roster. We're platooning some. That means pinch hitting some. And when you're a manager and you have to make that many moves, as many moves as our roster kind of behooves right now, every time you make a move, you bring a pinch hitter off the bench. The best pinch hitter in the world is a 350 hitter and is going to make an out more often than he's going to get a hit. So, you're making a lot of 55, 45, 60, 40 bets that get scrutinized. And if they don't work out, it's the onus kind of falls on you. So he's got to make a lot of acts of commission right now in managing our team. And as a result, I think he gets, kind of the burden of those acts of commission in terms of the scrutiny that they create. But again, I look at some of our best wins this season, and they've come from a lot of the decisions that he's made.
Here's what else Farhan had to say about Gabe Kapler on what he can improve on.
I think it's just a matter of him getting comfortable, getting comfortable with kind of the rhythm of, being the manager of the Giants, understanding the media. I think he's got great relationships with the players and, frankly, with people throughout the organization, on the business side of the organization and throughout baseball operations. He's a great connector, so... to me, it's just about him continuing to get comfortable. And, even though you guys have people calling in on some of his moves, like every major league manager gets on the radio, there's a lot of support for him from our fan base as well, which I think has, made him more comfortable and given him more confidence. So I'm just looking forward to seeing him continue to grow in the role.
Farhan Zaidi, wow. President of Baseball Ops of the Giants, first time on these 95.7 The Game airways. What did you think about what he had to say about Gabe Kapler?
Butch, you think he's getting text messages from fans that are saying they love Kapler? I mean, what metric are you looking at to where you think that's the case? I mean, and I'll say this, man. At the end of the day, you can't hide bad managerial decisions, and that's the beauty of baseball, just watching the game. So whatever Gabe does for Farhan at this point, I don't want to say puppet, but it's close to that. He can do no wrong. And that was a man that sounded like a defense attorney for Gabe Kapler, man. I mean, come on. Who cares about what his relationship with the business side? We care about the baseball side of it, the in-game managing aspect of it. And right now, through 13 games, it hasn't been pretty.
Yeah, there's baseline of things that you have to check to be a manager in today's day and age. Do you get along with people inside the building? Well, yeah, he should. He's been there 6 months. Just hired him. Everybody who starts a new job is friendly with everyone. How are you at in year two, year three, when you're going up against challenges? Man, he's really good with the business side. Like, who cares? Win games. None of that matters to me. And this thing about Farhan saying, well, the best pinch hitter in the world bats 350 and this, that, and the other – you don't have even remotely major league level pinch hitters, okay? I'm looking at Hunter Pence and Pablo Sandoval. They are below major league level hitters at this point in their career. And that's why I go back to the Joey Bart thing, okay? These other guys have proven their confidence is shattered. Right. Their careers are done. They have nothing left. Next man up. It's called a meritocracy. That's baseball. That's America. Let's see what Joey Bart has. And if he struggles, okay, you bring him back down to Sacramento. It's not going to ruin the guy's psyche. I don't understand it, man. I really don't.
Zach in Oakland, do you understand Farhan's comments on Joey Bart? Good morning, Zach. You're on 95.7 The Game.
Well, guys, thank you for taking my call. I got two comments. First of all, I'm a Dodgers fan, so watching the Giants just turn their wheels is kind of hilarious to me. But I have to say, what is worse for a guy's confidence? Coming up to the big leagues and maybe hitting 200 or 250, or being a 23-year-old second overall pick and having your team basically tell you you're not good enough yet?
Wow. Thank you.
If that was me, I mean, that has to hurt his confidence way more than bringing him up. Look at the Dodgers. They had Gavin Lux. He's one of the best prospects in baseball. They brought him up last year. He did well. He started off the season with some stuff going on in his personal life, so they sent him back down. You don't have to keep him up forever. It just seems crazy what they're doing with the guy, and I feel really bad for Joey Bart.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Wow,
Brantley's better than this guy. Chadwick Trump's better than him. Tyler Heineman's better than him. We have this thing. It's really funny. Like, in corporate America and normal jobs, people get threatened by anyone who says, yeah, I deserve to be at the highest level. That's where I feel like I should be. Whatever happened to confidence? Whatever happened to being greedy and saying out loud, I want a promotion. I want a higher position. Isn't that natural human inclination? I don't want a guy on my team who doesn't think he deserves to be on the big league club. Like, everyone on the team should be feeling that way, right? Like, don't you want to work with a bunch of people who I want to strive for more? Isn't that what we all want in our life and we want to surround ourselves with?
Yeah, and Bonte, the fact that you're getting basically nothing from the catcher position offensively and defensively, that's how I see it. That's just more maddening why you wouldn't be like, you know what, let's let the young fella up, get his feet wet. And this experience, it ain't even about hits and strikeouts. It's just about the E-word, experience. I just don't get it. And for Farhan to say whatever you think you got going in Sacramento is more beneficial than him playing Major League Baseball games, I'll never agree with that, man.
And another way I look at it too, man, you're going to be playing all these teams in the West, right? The Rockies, Dodgers, we already went through the schedule. Let him see that pitching. Let him see what he's working with within the division so he can work on it in the offseason. Now, the fact that they didn't bring him up before opening day, okay, I didn't really kick any garbage cans or go crazy over that. But here we are in game number 13 now, or excuse me, 14. Giants have a chance to go 7-7. Let's see after this road trip if Trump is still struggling at the plate or if Heineman is still struggling defensively. Bring the guy up. Bring the guy up. And I know he's only seen 100 at-bats above A-level ball. Let him see some major league pitching and then see where he's at and send him back down to AAA. Because I don't get the fact that you're just up there at
AAA.
What's
the downside?
You're playing with the taxi squad. You're taking ABs against who? Who are you taking ABs against?
Damn.
What type of major league pitching is up there in Sacramento? I don't get it.
Well, I love when he says, like, hey, we've got a bunch of major leaguers up there at the Sacramento site. We'll bring some of them down there.
Right.
You don't think the big league
we need
to use some of those guys? I mean, because I'm watching a lot of guys that I don't know if they're big leaguers, to be totally honest with you.
Same here. We'll continue to roll on the Farhan Zalm coming up. Farhan Zaidi spoke to DRK yesterday at around 5 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. He talked about Buster Posey, the pitchers in the system, because we're talking about prospects yesterday and how the pandemic basically impacted his job. We'll play all that coming up here on BSNG. Dirt of Guru Johnson, Just Asking the Butcher Boy, Bonte Hill. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.